It's Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy. In recent months, you've heard stories about the growing opioid crisis in McLean County from the perspective of law enforcement officials, a medical doctor, and a mother who lost a son. This is the story of one man's struggle to overcome opioid addiction. Andrew Dewey began taking powerful painkillers when he was living in Jacksonville, Illinois. A doctor prescribed them after Dewey had suffered two back injuries. When the doctor relocated, Dewey began seeking painkillers on the street and eventually moved to heroin. He lost his job as an assistant manager at a department store and quickly depleted his savings on heroin. His marriage broke up, and he lost custody of his son. He tells GLT's Judy Valente he had no idea what would happen to him when he began taking the prescription painkillers.
Without doing an exam, without an MRI, without x-rays, he just, in 5 minutes, said, and then wrote me a script for 90 Vicodin a month. He wanted me to take three a day, which is quite a bit of opioid.
You say that on March the 5th, 2012, you remember that date clearly, you got clean. What prompted that? How did that happen?
I got up that morning, as I did every morning, and one of the things was heroin was easy to find, but it wasn't something you could find at the beginning of the day. And the drug dealer's not getting up at 7 o'clock in the morning with you just because you got to go, you know, try to find a job. So that particular morning, I did what I always did, and I had some, I always bought pills from anyone who had them, Vicodin, Narcos, Oxycontin, whatever I could get. So I started every morning by taking six pills and swallowing it down with a pint of vodka. And that's how I was able to function by 7 or 8, 7:30. And for some reason, I put them all down, and I went in, I used the restroom. And I know it sounds like a cliche, and I know people will often look at me and go, are you really serious? But it really happened this way. I looked up, and because I very rarely looked at myself. I mean, when I shaved, I didn't pay any attention. I looked up, and I was washing water on my face, and I realized that my eyes were sunken sockets. My cheeks were gone. I mean, I looked like I weighed 92 pounds, and I'm 6'2". And I said, holy crap, I'm killing myself. So I called the Wells Center, which in Jacksonville, which is a treatment center that has been closed by the governor, but they didn't have a bed. They said, you got to hang in there. We don't have a bed. I said, okay. She goes, you're first on the list. So for the next 2 days, I couldn't get myself to do it anymore. So for the next 2 days, I went back through that horrific withdrawal. And on the third day, they called and said, we've got a bed. And I said, okay, I'm going to try to get myself down to a car and get to you. And she said, are you going through withdrawal? And I said, yeah. She goes, well, we'll have somebody come and help you. So they had somebody come and help me, you know, pack. And I mean, I could barely function. And they took me to the treatment center, and I started there. And it was an amazing step in my life, for sure.
What should change about the drug court?
I would like to see it controlled a little bit more like parole, where you have to come in once a week to court. And yeah, you'll have random urine tests for drugs. And because what's happening is you have to come in. The way it's set up most counties now, you come in and you sit there for 2 or 3 hours while somebody gets enough time to actually give you the cup and watch you pee and then test it. So now you've been there for 4 hours of your day, and then you've got court once a week. Then you've got you have to have a job. You have to have you have to find a place to live. You know, all of these things can be very restricted to somebody who's just getting sober. And I think some drug courts are doing it well in this state. I think others are really making it almost impossible to complete their program. And I think that we need to do a lot more to make it easier, not tougher. One other thing I think is strongly missing, and I would love to see it as part of drug court, as a mandatory thing, is after counseling. Basically, treatment centers, drug courts, even prisons will just release that person and just let them out in the world. Well, that's fine. Okay, so now I'm clean from drugs, but I'm not okay from all the stuff the baggage that that brought into my life, maybe even the baggage I was carrying from childhood that helped bring drugs into my life. And I think we need to think about, you know, at least six sessions with an actual licensed professional counselor to work through some of this.
Andrew Dewey, thanks for talking with us about your recovery from opioid addiction.
Well, I appreciate it, and thank you very much for letting me talk.
I'm Judy Valente.
Andrew Dewey is now studying for a master's degree in counseling. He has returned with his, or been rather, been reunited with his son, and says he wants to help others recover from addiction. He'll tell his story as part of a panel discussion on the opioid crisis sponsored by the League of Women Voters tomorrow at 7 p.m. in the community room of the Normal Public Library. Also on the panel are McLean County Coroner Kathy Davis, Assistant State's Attorney Adam Grist, and Chestnut Health Systems Treatment Specialist Brian Hinman. You're listening to Sound Ideas.